Probably most of you have been watching the TV coverage of Hurricane Florence. I guess then became Tropical Storm. And this massive storm killed more than 40 people. And I was watching some news last night, and they were interviewing some farmers in North Carolina, lost most of their crops. And the guy was saying, this is probably going to be the end for many farmers in North Carolina. So many people have been impacted by this storm, deaths, a loss of property. Of course, you've all seen the pictures of these churches that are halfway submerged. By the way, it's great to have Johnny and Jan with us today. Johnny's making real progress. It's good to see you guys. Well, it's good to have you here. It's not good to see you. But no. I told Johnny he looks sharp today. He really does. He's looking good. And we're excited about that. But just destruction and trouble and trouble. Now, probably, and I hope, most of us will never have to go through a physical storm like that. But every one of us will go through personal storms in our life. Some of you are there now. Some of you have been there recently, and the Lord has brought you through. And in Acts chapter 27, we're going to study a physical storm, one of my favorite words in the Bible, the name of this storm. And we're going to learn some lessons that will apply to our personal lives. And it's going to take us 2 weeks. Today we're going to kind of cover the story. And then next week we're going to try to give you some great biblical truths that will get you through the storm. Okay? So here we are. We're in Acts chapter 27. Let's start in verse 9. Acts 27 and verse 9. Now Paul is on his way to Rome. And he's on a ship. And it said in verse 6, there was a centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us thereon. And when we had sailed slowly many days, I'm in verse 7, and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salamone. And hardly passing it, came into a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said to them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice, and there to winter, which is in haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind, called, here's my word, Euroclydon. Doesn't that sound like a storm? I mean, this is not the kind of storm you want to face. Euroclydon. I mean, it just sounds terrifying. So, number one, the people's problem. If you're taking notes, the people's problem. So here Paul is on a ship. It's a medium-sized ship carrying 276 people and carrying wheat from Egypt to Rome. And you notice it said the fast was past. Now, that doesn't mean much to us. But this fast took place in the 10th month, 7th day, 10th month, or excuse me, that's backwards, 7th month, 10th day. Now, not our months. It would be the equivalent of October. And in that day, in the Mediterranean, you didn't travel, you didn't go on ship pretty much from October to March because of the storms. Their ships couldn't handle the storms. They didn't have the navigation devices we have today. And so they could not travel during those months, and so they wouldn't. So it's that time of year, Paul says, guys, I don't think we ought to go. Now, I really believe, the Bible doesn't say here, but I really believe Paul probably had a word from God. And God had told Paul, hey, this is not good. You guys need to stay put. And the centurion had to make a choice. The captain, the owner of the vessel, said, hey, it's going to be okay, let's go. So they set out, and as they set out, they faced this terrible storm, this Euroclydon. Really an interesting word. It's two words in the original, north and storm. Now, I was just up in Maine, and they get these kind of storms. What do they call them? Nor'easter, yeah, these terrible storms that come in. And this is what it was. And you notice in verse, I think, 15, that the ship was caught. Now, what does that mean? The ship is caught. It's out of control. That's exactly it. Well, it was being controlled, but not by them. That's exactly right. The storm was taking this ship and was in the wind, and it was totally out of their power. There was nothing they could do about it. They're totally helpless. They're in grave peril. They're just about to go down. Things are bad. Things are bad. Now, that's a physical storm. Hopefully, you'll never be in that boat, literally. But there are all kinds of storms that come to our lives. What are some storms that come into believers' lives? And you can be kind of general here. We have financial, you can have financial storms. You can have physical storms. Financial. What else? Medical, which would be physical. Family storms. Yeah. Relationship storms, all kinds of storms, problems and difficulties that comes into life, even personal storms, personal struggles, things in your life that they're just out of control. And in all of these things, we're just not able to do what we want to do. We have no control over it. Now, I try to stay away from personal illustrations, but I'm kind of in the midst of one of those right now. Several months ago, I went to my dentist, and I have a bridge across the front, eight. There's four fake teeth right here and two crowns on each side that hold it in place. It's a permanent bridge. And I went to my dentist. He said, you have a cavity in one of the teeth that's holding the bridge. Not good news. So I went to Wes Mullins down in Knoxville, and he had to pull the tooth, had to have an implant. $4,000 later, we're all happy. You know, everything's good now. It's great. So I go for a checkup to my dentist this couple weeks ago, and he's doing this checkup, and he said, there is a cavity in this tooth. Now, this is the one that had the implant. Right now, I have three teeth holding my bridge instead of four.
Do you brush your teeth?
I do. It's discouraging. I really do. And I even floss. I mean, what's the deal with that? So, my dentist says, they're going to have to take that whole bridge off. You're going to have three crowns and four implants. Now, I'm not real good at math, but if one implant was 4,000 times four, 16... two crowns. You think they will? I hope they do. So, anyway, I'm going to a dentist. I'm going back to West tomorrow. Now, I do brush. I do the things. I brush both of my teeth. I really do. I do. I like my hair, you know. Now, I'll be honest. Here's something I have no control over. I really don't. I have to admit. My wife gets these motorized brushes, you know, and I've about worn this tooth out, you know, drilled out myself. So I go to the dentist tomorrow in Knoxville, and he said, I'm gonna try to save the bridge. And so I'm gonna wear a button. Save the bridge. Save the bridge button. But you know, here is that financial, I'll be honest with you, I don't have $20,000. I really don't. My children are married, I can't sell them off, so you know, what are you gonna do? Now, there are times that I just really got discouraged about this. Lord, I tithe. I give to Faith Promise. I even work at a church. Yeah. Financial storm. And the devil says, boy, you are in big trouble, son. Now, again, I don't like using personal things, but it is what it is. It's out of control. There's nothing I can do about it. The cavity's already there. Now, I'm hoping there's something the dentist can do about it. But there are often times in our life when things happen, family, finances, physical, personal, and we just can't do anything about it. Just like these guys in the boat. They were helpless. There's nothing they could do. So we see the people's problems. Secondly, the people's plan. Okay, these guys come up with a plan. Let's see what it is. Verse 16. Well, let's start in verse 15. And when the ship was caught, so it's out of control, the wind's controlling it, and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. So here's the plan. Let her go, boys. Great plan. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. Now, what that means is they had a little boat ship that would follow them. I guess they'd call it a tender vessel. Have you heard of that? And or it could be a lifeboat. But you know, if they docked someplace and there was no dock, they could get in this boat and go to shore. We were in Bar Harbor, and in the harbor there was a little tiny boat there, about 50 or 60 feet long, a yacht called the Enterprise. And I was curious, so I got online, and you could rent that thing. Came out of North Carolina for only $45,000 a week. We prayed about it. We decided not to. But it was interesting because they had a power boat that had like four huge motors on it that would follow them. And it was kind of their tender. If they had to dock out in a harbor, then they could bring them to shore. So this is what it was. So they don't want that boat in the storm to beat up against their ship. So they take it on board. Okay? So, all right. So that's a pretty good plan. Moving along, and in verse 17, which when they had taken up, they used helps and undergird the ship. So now they're taking ropes or cables, and they're wrapping it around the ship to try to strengthen the ship so it won't fall apart in the storm. And fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, they strake sail, and so were driven. So here they are again. They're just totally out of control. The wind is carrying this boat. We were exceedingly tossed with the tempest, and the next day they lightened the ship. So what'd they do? They're tossing stuff overboard, okay? We don't need that, okay? All that luggage his mother-in-law brought, we don't need that. Throw it overboard. The third day, we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. So now they're casting out. They're throwing the ropes out. They're throwing all this stuff away. They're just... And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. So these guys, they do all these human things, do all the things they can do. And as we'll see, it's going to be to no avail. But isn't that what we do? When we have a problem, what do we usually do? What can I do to fix this problem? What can I do? You know, I've got a financial problem. So I'm going to quit tithing, quit giving the faith promise. Let's see if I do that. Yeah, I could pay for this. We'll be all right. Right? I'm going to go play the lottery. I don't know who, Brubaker, his sister or somebody sent him a lottery ticket for his birthday. What are you going to do? So I cashed in on it, and I'm hoping to get that $20,000. Physical problems, boy, you do all you can, don't you? You go to a doctor, you try to get help, you go on a special diet, but simple matter of fact is there may come a point where there's nothing you can do. You got family problems. You buy books. You go for counseling. You scheme and you stay. What do you? If you're typical, you stay wake up all night thinking, what can I do to get them back? What can I do to solve this problem? How can I fix it? What can I do? Personal problems. Oh, I'm going to break that habit. Turn over a new leaf. Now, what is the result of all their efforts? All their human efforts. If you look at the end of verse 20. All hope was taken away. They've done everything they can do, and there's no hope. And notice this too. There's no direction. It says, when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared. Now, how did they know where they were? Yeah, it's interesting. In Maine, of course, there's hundreds of lighthouses, and we went out to one. And saw it there in Bass Harbor. And I didn't know this, but that lighthouse sends out an intermittent signal every 4 seconds, a red light. And all of the different lighthouses have different lights. I just all thought they were white, you know, they're going around and they said there's... But that's not the case. And so when the lobsterman is caught out in the fog out there and he sees that red flashing light every 4 seconds, he knows... That's the head of Bass Harbor. That's home. Okay? They didn't have that. They didn't have that. They had nothing they could do without the sun and the stars. These guys are hopeless. They have no direction. They're full of fear. They're not able to eat because they're so afraid. Have you been there where things are so bad you don't even have an appetite? I mean, there's just no hope. And they despair, and they just say, you know what? There's nothing we can do. Now, folks, every one of you in this room has been through a time like that. You had no direction. Didn't know what to do. You've tried everything. And when you're in a situation like that, what emotion takes over?
Fear.
Fear. What's going to happen if... What am I going to do if... And we become full of fear. And I think once you get past the fear, I think probably there's discouragement. It's nothing I can do. And there's nobody's going to help me. And I think past discouragement is despair. There's no hope. The situation is beyond hope. There's nothing that can be done. And there's depression and even possibly suicide. And then you get all the emotional junk that goes along with that. All the depression, the anger, the bitterness. How could they do that to me? How could God allow that to happen? And by the way, we're going to cover that next week. So hang in there for next week, okay? Try to give some answers to that. The exhaustion, no sleep. Things are bad. Bad. Have you been there? Out of curiosity, how many would say, Gary, there's been a time in my life when I was in a situation like that? Yeah, just about everybody. Now, what's the response? Okay, what are you going to do? Well, we see the people's problem, the people's plan, and then the next point doesn't make a whole lot of sense because it's Paul's peace. Okay, say what? I love what Paul says here in verse 21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, this is great. In our vernacular today, he said, I told you so. That's exactly right. Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. Guys, I told you. I told you not to go. But he said, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer. What? We're all going to die. The ship's going down. We're in a terrible storm. We have no control. Hey, smile, guys. Be happy. Okay? It's okay. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. What? How do you know that? For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. If you're asleep, if this is the only thing you hear, I want you to hear this phrase. Paul said, be of good cheer. Why? For I believe God. Wow. What a wonderful... This is the crux of the passage. Paul had peace. Human reasoning? No, because all human reasoning said, we're going down. This is bad. Can't happen. But he receives a revelation from God, which is totally opposite of the situation. Situation is doom and gloom. We're dying. God says, it's going to be okay. And his message is, be of good cheer. Now, Paul had a choice, didn't he? God came to Paul and said, okay, Paul, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. Everybody's going to live. It's going to be all right. Now, Paul had a choice. He could open his cabin door and look out and see the horrendous storm and say, I don't think so. Or he could believe God. He had a choice. And by the way, in every storm, you have a choice too. And Paul said, guys, it's going to be okay. And his fear turned to good cheer. Guys, it's going to be okay. His sadness turned to gladness. His discouragement turned to encouragement. His focus, and here's the reason. We talk about focus a lot. What was he focused on? The waves? The ship creaking and groaning the men screaming out? Or did he focus on the Word of God? Boy, that focus is so important. You see, Paul wasn't focused on the problem. He was focused on the person of God. And he said, God said we're going to be okay. And if God said it, it's going to be okay. Be of good cheer. Now notice what happens. We'll skip down. Verse 36. He had told the guys, you got to stay in the boat. And some of them didn't. They tried to take off. And so they got him back in the boat. And in verse 31, Paul says the centurion to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat. Amen. That's my life source right there. Take some meat. Good steak. For this is your for your health. For there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread, gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer. That's interesting, isn't it? 276 people. The good cheer started with how many? One. Now they're all of good cheer. And they also took some meat. They were all in the ship, 216 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship, cast out the weed into the sea. When it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves into the sea, loosed the rudder bands, hoist up the mainsail to the wind, and made toward shore. They see this little opening, a creek. They think we can make it to there. They just let it fly. And falling into the place where the two seas met, they ran the ship aground. The forepart stuck fast, remained unmoved, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purposes and commanded that they which should swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on board, some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Wow, what a story. What a story. Paul had great peace, and he trusted God, and God showed his power. I don't know if I've ever noticed it before, but there were really two dangers to keep those 276 men from getting to shore alive. One was the storm. Did you see the other one? Soldiers. Hey, these guys are criminals. Let's kill them. If they had killed one, God's promise wouldn't have happened. If one guy couldn't find a board to hang on to, if one guy had the mast come down and hit him in the head and knock him unconscious and he dies, God's promise doesn't happen. Folks, this is a terrible, huge, tremendous storm. Anything could have happened for God's promise not to have been kept. But what's the simple truth? God's a whole lot more powerful than any storm. Any storm that comes in your life, God is much more powerful. And Paul trusted God, and God kept every man, 276 exactly, made it to shore. Why? Because God said they would. Now, Paul's peace came because he heard a word from God. Now, if you're in a storm today, yes, people can help you and encourage you, and we should do that. But you know what you need? You need a word from God. Roger and Sandy, when you needed help, you needed a word from God, and God gave it to you, didn't he? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Isn't that a great verse? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, who has a full bank account. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace who has perfect health. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace who has no family problems or financial problems. No, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And that's exactly the answer, folks. When we're in the storm, our focus is the most crucial thing. What are you focusing on in the storm? And the only way to have peace is not transcendental meditation or yoga. Well, I'm glad for that. Yoga would kill me. It's none of those things. It's not the power of positive thinking. It's focusing on the God who's bigger than the storm. Now, in Paul's case, they made it through the storm. Storm was gone. It was over. May not be true in our case. The storm may continue. You say, wait a minute. If the storm continues and God didn't take it. No, that's not what the Bible says. Because Paul had another storm. Remember that storm? He prayed 3 times. God, deliver me from this thorn in the flesh. God, deliver me from this thorn in the flesh. I was riding the elliptical last night. I know you can tell. After all that food on vacation, I really need to. And Tennessee was not worth watching. In fact, it was. I said, I'm not going to put myself through this. I'm just not. So I turned it off. So I was flipping through the channels, and I found some apostolic thing. And I thought, well, I'll just watch it just for kicks. And didn't get much out of that guy. So I turned another guy and was watching him. And it was the old health, wealth and prosperity gospel. If you'll just believe God, God's going to give you everything you want. Well, you know, I wish that was true, don't you? But Paul said, I prayed. And some people would say, look, man, if you prayed and God didn't take it away, you don't have enough faith. It's not the case, folks. But when Paul could not get through that trial and God kept him in the trial and kept him in the trial and kept him in the trial, there was an answer, wasn't there? Remember what it was? My grace is sufficient for you. And I know there are folks here today who are going through physical trials. There are folks going through some family trials, some personal trials, maybe some financial trials. And I want to remind you that if the trial continues, now we'd like it. We'd like the storm to stop, right? Florence is gone. We'd like that. But it may not be gone. Paul's trial ended when he died. Okay. But hallelujah, Paul said, boy, God's grace is going to be enough for me. And here's an amazing thing. Paul said, you know what? I don't glory in the good times. I glory in my weakness. Because what? When I am weak, then he makes me strong. Folks, we're talking about a physical storm, which probably none of us, we hope, will ever have to experience. But we will experience personal storms. We will. We will. Some of you are there. I look around the room and I see people. I see some people that I know right now you're in the middle of it. Cat 5. You're right in the middle of it. And I remind you, there is a way of peace. And it is to hear from heaven and have God speak to your heart. And to have a right view of God. If you're in despair, discouragement, depression, the problem is we have a wrong view of God. When I've thought about this dental issue, there's been some times when I thought, Lord, what in the world are you doing? I'm a nice guy. I know that may come as a surprise to you, but what? And there have been times that I thought, man, I don't know. I mean, if I go there tomorrow and he said, sorry, son, can't fix it, what in the world am I going to do? And then I refocus. Okay. God's still on the throne. God still knows what he's doing. God still has a good plan. And I can trust him. And so can you. And your problems are probably much worse than mine. But there is peace when we can focus. Good morning. On the Lord. Okay? Good. Let's pray and we'll be done. Lord, we thank you for the story today. Lord, we know there are people here in this room that are going through some great financial struggles, physical struggles, family struggles. And God, they need to hear from heaven. And I pray that you would help them, Lord, to be able to focus on you and who you are, and help us next week as we try to nail down some of those things. Lord, and help us to have a right focus that we might have victory and have peace even in the midst of a storm. And God, through it all, help us to respond so that you get all the glory, that we have a proper reflection of who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Great to have you, folks. Lord bless.